What's good, world? It's your boy Pete Walsh, aka Lamborghini Petey. Episode 72 of the Respect the Game podcast. Really looking forward to this one. We got a whole squad in here today, man. A very good looking squad, I may say so myself. But we got a new Nick, Mike Beasley, in the house. Mike, welcome, man. Thanks for coming.
Hello, Lambo.
So you got to give me at least one AKA and not be easy because everyone knows that one.
AKA?
Yeah.
Paul? My real friends call me Paul.
Is that your middle name?
Yeah. MPZ. Michael Paul Beasley.
I got to ask you about one of my favorite movies of all time, Gunning for the number one spot.
That's one of your favorite movies of all time?
Of all time, yeah. Is that a bad thing?
Bro, that's a big statement.
I love that movie, man. I would try and watch that at least like twice a year.
Seriously?
Hell yeah.
I haven't seen that movie in like 6 years.
So what do you remember about filming that movie, though?
I remember I was talking shit to Dante Green. I remember pulling Jared Bailey's pants down.
Yeah.
I remember vaguely a closet. It was fun. It was definitely fun. Yeah. I remember the game almost got rained out, but, you know, God couldn't let this talent go to waste that day.
So, do you prefer playing at Rucker or Berry Farms?
Berry Farms, yeah. Definitely.
So, what was the best game you ever played at Berry Farms?
Best game I ever played at Berry Farms? Bro, I played a million of them. I would say the funnest game, me, Kevin Durant, Nolan Smith, Ty Lawson, and there was one more player with us.
So this was basically an NBA team.
Yeah, but this is why we were in high school. And we were playing against like some grown men. And like we all like maybe had like 20, 25, 30 that game, and that's what we got the nickname, them damn youngins. So like every time we would come around the way or we go home, like people like, man, they go them damn youngins, yeah. You know? So like I definitely gotta say Berry Farms.
So why do you think the DMV has just been producing so much talent?
Because that's all we do.
Yeah.
Like I can take you right now, I can take you home right now, and there's a 9 o'clock run at Bowie State University. There's a 12 o'clock run at Georgetown. There's a 4:30 run, 5 o'clock run at Maryland University. Then there's a 7 o'clock run at it started at 7. The coalitions, Berry Farms, different leagues, and then if you're not tired, we got a midnight league. So like literally, all we do is play all day. So we you don't got no choice but to be good.
Yeah, and then I feel like you guys are all still close in the league too. I mean, like UKD, I'm sure you still talk to Ty, all those guys. So
we all grew up together. Like, yeah. Ty Lawson gave me my first loss in high school basketball, and my last loss. He was on the court.
But weren't you teammates at one point?
Yeah, that last loss, he was on the court. So my first loss, I was at Kettering Middle School.
Okay.
He was at Gwynn Park Middle School. And we literally, Marcus Gilbert was on his team, by the way, for the Pittsburgh Steelers. But Ty Lawson literally, like, ripped us a new one. Like, and mind you, me, Marcus, I think it was Jordan, it was Pat Pure, like a couple of us, like we were all 6 feet. Mm-hmm. And you know, in eighth grade, 6'1", 6'2", like that's giant.
Yeah.
And here come little small Ty Lawson running around the floor, man. We went there, we think it was 19-0. We left 19-1.
So if they put you, KD, Ty, Nolan Smith, and then a fifth on the squad right now, would you go undefeated? Would you win a championship? Would you make the playoffs?
In the NBA?
Yeah.
We'll make the playoffs.
Yeah.
Definitely. We need three more players to win a championship.
Right. So before I forget, I actually just thought of this while you were talking. Dave East, you played against him in high school, right?
Yeah.
So what was his?
No, I played with him in high school.
Yeah. Him, I think Grievous, right?
Grievous Vasquez, like Vivas Vasquez, Grievous is like, in my opinion, one of the most underrated point guards. Mm-hmm. Like, man, that guy's so dope. He's so creative. He, like, man, I love Grievous. I always love playing with Grievous.
Yeah. And then what was Dave's game like back in high school?
Dave was a shooter.
Yeah.
Like, He gonna let it go as soon as his hands touch it. So, he can dribble. He can do it. He was athletic. Like, he ain't really had that much bounce, though. Mm-hmm. You know, well, he can dunk. But he had a cannon. I do give him that.
Yeah,
he can shoot it from anywhere.
So have you gotten up with him at all since you've been?
Yeah, New York? I was just with him. What was it, 10 days ago?
Oh, where?
Yeah, just bumped into him on some random New York shit.
Yeah.
Chopped it up. You know, I ain't really get a chance to kick it with him, catch him in the studio yet. So
yeah, he's a busy guy these days, man.
Yeah, you telling me?
Yeah, big fan of that guy, man.
Yeah, his latest album, dope, man.
Yo, crazy.
Yeah, dope.
Crazy. But yeah, speaking of just random New York shit, how long you been in the city? Like, how was your summer? What was your offseason
days.
Like? Oh, you just got here.
Yeah, I tried to rush for Fashion Week.
Oh, and you were in the show, right?
I was, but I was late for it, I had to skip it. But my summer's been satisfyingly hectic.
Okay.
Like really busy, but not too busy. Like, I a lot of downtime, but not too much downtime. It's just I was riding that thin line of, I wish my phone would stop ringing. So it was fun, man. I actually moved to Atlanta this year.
Oh, nice.
I got my car stolen.
What?
Yeah.
What kind of whip?
It was just a Dodge Ram.
Okay.
I thought it was more funny than anything. it happens. I was in Atlanta this year. Played some great basketball with a lot of the guys there. Worked out with the general Dez at Wheeler High School.
Okay.
I wake up early, man. My workout start at 5:30.
Damn.
So that way, when I get home at 9:30, I can have the rest of my day to do what I want, mm-hmm. You know, mainly with my kids and things like that. But my summer's been cool, fun, hectic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You signed with the Knicks? That's probably the biggest piece of your summer, I would say.
Yeah. That was a surprise.
Oh, what?
A pleasant one. Pleasant one. Crazy. My dad, who I can probably count on my hand and how many times I've seen him in my lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
When I was young, I was maybe 6 years old, 7 years old. And I was mad at him this day because he got me the Pippins instead of the Jordans. But, you know, whatever. The Jordans are sold out. So I'm literally just crying for these shoes. Man, I want them Jordans. I want the Jordans. Mm-hmm. I want the Jordans. And he say, man, no, I'm going to get you these Pippins. I'm like, why? He's like, well, they sold out, but I still ain't want the Pippins. And he looked at me and said, man, you need to work hard so everybody be crying for your shoe.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And then after that, man, maybe 30 minutes later, we walking out, man, he sent me down. And he said, man, you know, I had a dream the other night, man, that you're going to play for the Knicks. And like that always stuck with me. So when I got drafted, the last four teams to get the number two pick was the Knicks, the Heat, Chicago, and somebody, you know.
Like the Grizzlies,
so,
maybe?
Yeah. So it always almost made sense. And then it's just this summer, you know, maybe my dad's a genius and we just don't know.
You're a fortune teller, man.
Yeah.
So it almost feels a little I guess serendipitous in a way that you inked with the Knicks.
I love that word.
Yeah?
Yeah. Here we go with that.
All right, word. So the serendipitous signing of Michael Beasley
nice.
To the New York Knicks.
Nice.
That'll be the open one day. But what are you looking most forward to playing? Obviously playing at the Garden is always an event, but what sticks out to you the most when you think about playing in New York?
The ridicule. Ridicule.
The ridicule?
Yeah. I love the hate.
Yeah?
The love. Because my philosophy is, in order to hate me, you have to love me somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So if the Knicks haven't been to the playoffs in, 4 years, five?
Something like that, yeah. 4 years. 4 years.
It actually seems longer than that.
Yeah.
But Amari wasn't here. Amari was here. Amari ripped it when he was here.
I know. The first half of that season, first season he was here, he was legit MVP contender.
Oh, my God, yeah. Amari. Just
dunking on everyone. It was great.
But, so yeah, my philosophy is as bad as it has been, as mad as the fans have been at the New York Knicks overall, mm-hmm. not one particular player or anything like that. they still come. So they still love us, you know. So as long as we do what we got to do, you know, off season in practice together, I believe we can win, bro. Like, there's nothing telling. Okay, last summer this time, who told Giannis Antetokounmpo that he couldn't average 22 points?
Not me.
Who, like, you know, who thought he was going to be an MVP candidate?
Yeah, I mean, I thought he was at least another year or two away for sure.
And that's my point exactly.
Yeah.
Like, the guy works mm-hmm. like no other. And I do too.
Yeah.
And I've been in the gym for the last 10 days with 15 other guys that work just as hard as me.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing telling us that we can't be great is the fans and the media outside of our building.
Yeah.
So if we can just stop listening to them and do what we have to do, there's no doubt in my mind we can be a 5-6 seed at least.
Yeah, and I mean, the way the East is shaking out this year, there's probably going to be a lot more bad teams than there are good ones. So
you said it, not me.
And then, you know, between yourself, Jared Jack coming in, Tim Hardaway Jr. coming back.
Like, we got a squad, man. We got Timmy. We got Jared. Porzingis.
Neil Aquino.
Hey, man, let's talk about this. Like, I said something, like, 2 days ago. I said, me, Timmy, Porzingis, and Melo are capable of scoring 25 a night.
I mean, facts.
And now everybody's, like, looking at me like, oh, he's so dumb. It's impossible for four players to average 25. I've never said anything about average. Like, just because you're capable of doing something doesn't mean you're going to do it. That's ain't that, like, the definition of potential?
I mean, if you score 25, then what you said is correct. That doesn't necessarily mean that anyone else has to score 25.
Yeah, but I don't necessarily, like, I don't have to score 25 82 games in a row for me to be capable of scoring 25 82 games.
Average.
Yeah. Average. I mean, I don't have to average 25 for me to be capable of scoring 25 in any given night.
Got you.
You know, and that's like the statement I made. And everybody's like, well, it's impossible for four guys to average 25 points. And you know, Stephen A. Smith chimed in on it.
Yeah.
And, you know.
You want to get into that?
We can.
Yeah. So what he said, what? You got to lay off the weed, right?
Yeah, man. Yeah. It's like, and my thing is, okay, what I said, you took it the wrong way. And I get that. But this is my problem. Like, the weed thing has been years removed, right?
Right.
My daughter, my oldest child, is now 8, right? So I made it a conscious effort, or I made it really important to myself to clean my act up, because in 2012, I was on FaceTime with her, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she was 4 at the time. And it was bad connection, and she said, "Daddy, hold on. It says poor connection, da da da." And that right there, I'm like, whoa, that was a pretty big word for four, almost 5-year-old to be speaking.
Yeah.
You know? So that right there, I made it my duty to clean my act up, so to speak.
Yeah.
Because if she can read connection, then marijuana is only one more syllable.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So if I'm doing this, whatever I'm doing, she can read, you know? Okay, so this is what takes me to the Stephen A. thing. You can say whatever you want, bro. But when you say my name and you say weed or anything negative, A, that continuously paints the wrong perception of who I am as a person and who I am morally. And then B, like, I had to explain to my daughter what weed was. She's 8.
Yeah.
Like, is that my fault or is that his?
I mean,
you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, bro, like, I understand you got a job to do, and I understand you got money to make and kids to feed. I don't know if you got kids, but I do. And the more you paint me in a negative light, the less money I can make to feed those kids.
Mm-hmm.
And then on another step, take it a step further, like I said, like, I got an 8-year-old, I got a 7-year-old, and a 6-year-old, and they all read and write. And
they're smart kids.
I gotta explain to children what weed is,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
Like,
and I mean, the thing is, like, this is something that happened when you were like 22.
Yeah, like, and I was 19, bro.
19, not even
like,
22.
Like,
yeah.
My thing is, like, you go through something, and people say, man, it's not about how you fall. It's about how you get up and handle it and how you learn from it and mature from it. And, bro, I was 19, 20, 21, bro. Yeah. That was 7 years ago.
And, I mean, and I don't think it's
– I can move on from it and mature from it, like, you still speaking about it means you're not mature as I am. Mm. So I really don't want to have a conversation with you to begin with.
Well, not me.
No, Steven.
Right. And, I mean, I don't think it's news to anyone that, like, 19 –
He's a liar, bro.
What do you mean?
Stephen A. Smith is a liar, bro.
I think he's an embellisher.
Isn't that a, like, a pretty word
I don't
for
know
lie?
Why I'm taking a side of this, but –
like, no, take a side because I love to be debative. I love to debate.
No, I mean –
But, like, listen, I love the words he used. I love how adamant he is, especially when he's wrong. Mm-hmm. Because if you're not going to stand for yourself, who's going to stand for you? Cool. But it's – like, literally, I've sat next to guys he was on the TV talking about. Like, man, I just got a phone call from this guy, and literally, I'm next to the guy. Man, I ain't never been in a room with this guy, you know? And it's like, bro, like, why does what you say hold credit?
Right.
When literally everybody knows you're lying about it. And then I wouldn't even have said that if he didn't say what he said today, you know? And I wanted to go on a rant on Instagram, and it would have been bad.
Yeah.
Erica told me, Erica, exact words, Erica said, if you post that, I'm coming with my belt. So.
She's right here, she's not denying it.
So that was the main part. I didn't go on a rant.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to have an adult conversation with him and explain like my feelings and my perception behind not just the marijuana but life and my kids, you know, so next time my name comes across his head, he can be cognitive of what not to say to take money out of my pocket.
Yeah, and I mean, you're with a new team, you're in a new city, you're trying to get off to the right foot.
Trying to get off to the right foot,
yeah.
And you putting the bad taste back in their mouth is just
it's unnecessary.
It's unfair to me. Mm-hmm. It's unfair to the Knicks, because now the Knicks looks, quote-unquote, dumb for signing a, you know, quote-unquote, weed head or whatever he called me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's like, bro, just let guys live. Not just me, but everybody. Let guys live.
Yeah.
That's it.
Well, I'm glad you got that off your chest, man.
I literally just wanted to speak to him as an adult, as a man, you know, and just let him know how I felt about the situation. That's it, you know? If I don't speak to him, I don't speak to him, but I just don't care for people who don't care for others' lives.
Yeah, and I mean, as you said, this stuff happened almost a decade ago at this point.
Yeah, man.
So. And it's like, it's not like you haven't been balling in the league that whole time.
You said it, not me.
But anyway, just to pivot a little bit, you know, you said Carmelo Anthony is like a mentor to you, so.
Always been, man.
Yeah.
Like, I model my game after Melo.
Yeah.
Like his jab series is just something to awe after.
Yeah. Another DMV baller.
Yeah. Another DMV baller.
So, I mean, now that, you know, you guys are teammates, I mean, that's probably just more than anything exciting for you just to have him in the locker room. I mean, obviously there's the rumors all around, but as of now, he's still a Knick.
Listen,
so.
I don't have anything to do with the rumors about him or anybody else. That's, you know, that's between him and management, you know. That's actually above my pay grade.
Yeah.
But a fan of the, like, if you're a fan of the basketball world, fan of the game, especially playing it, why wouldn't you be excited by playing with the one of the top 10 players of your decade?
Yeah.
Top five, for real. You know, the last 2 years, like, okay, for him to be ranked 64 and, like, guys that never played in the NBA ranked ahead of him,
mm-hmm.
That's so disrespectful.
So I actually wanted to ask you about that, like, with these player rankings, because people have been coming at our heads for rankings as well.
Which y'all got to rank that?
Well, we haven't ranked him yet, and we're at 28 now. So
you ain't ranked him yet? You got 28 players better than Melo?
No. We're going in reverse order.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was going to say, whoa. Oh, man.
But, I mean, people are always in our comments like, this is the dumbest shit ever. Like, y'all are stupid. But the thing is, they say, why haven't you ranked Melo? Like, oh, this guy's over Melo. They get ours confused with ESPN's and Sports Illustrated's, whoever's list. But from a player's perspective, like, I guess, why do guys care so much? Like, it's all subjective.
No, players don't care.
Yeah.
Because you can rank a guy like D. Wade 100 and whatever they ranked him.
Yeah.
And all 450 guys are going to be scared when he gets the ball.
Mm.
Same thing with me. Like, I can be a bust. I can be this. I can be that. But one thing you can't take away from me, and you can watch my whole career, every time I touch the ball, the guy in front of me and the guy behind him defending me are scared shitless. So players, like, we don't care about rankings. No. Yeah. I care for Melo because – that right there is like saying Mike Jordan isn't great at all.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Not comparing Melo to Jordan, but, bro, Melo is literally one of the best five players in the NBA right now. Like, hands down. Like, no matter how – like, he had one of his worst seasons last year, and he still averaged 22 points.
Yeah.
Like get a man some respect. Give him what he deserves, you know? Like, 64 – bro, I can't sit here and name 10 players off the top of my head easy, let alone 63.
Yeah.
You know? And that's my only thing. It's like, bro, y'all disrespect. And it's like fans are just like the scorned women of the world. It's like, what have you done for me lately?
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's like, okay, I scored 50 today, but next game I scored 20. Ah, he's not that great. Like, bro, I scored 50 two games ago.
Yeah.
What did you do for me lately? Like, bro, like, every fan that's sitting here ranking us, even the people that are sitting here ranking us, can't dribble a basketball.
Yeah.
So, facts. To your point, like, why care? You know, but at the same time, it's a good conversation.
Yeah. I mean, that's really what it's all about. I think, you know, ESPN ranking him there, and then Lonzo one spot ahead was deliberate.
Oh, what Lonzo was?
He was 63.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Up for the Melo?
Yeah.
Lonzo's good, though. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying he shouldn't be 63.
Yeah.
Just Melo shouldn't be 64 behind him.
No. No way. But not in this world.
I'm not going to lie. I watched him a little bit in UCLA. I kind of tickled my fancy a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I would have liked him to score a little more.
Yeah.
But this summer league was cool.
His vision is insane.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I would love to play with a guy like that.
Yeah.
He don't want to score. Like, he score when he needs to. Like, I think that's way more valuable. Like, everybody thinks it's cool to average 40 points. I think it's very cool to maybe average 8 points and it be the last 8 points of the game.
Yeah.
Like, that's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, think about the guys that have averaged like 25 compared to the guys who have averaged like 12 assists. Like, there's a huge disparity.
It's a huge disparity. Like, but, you know, we as children and adolescents only see the ball going to hoop and don't really care about what happens before that.
Well, that's the name of the game, right?
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, I'm super excited to see what he does, not even his rookie year, but –
I don't even want to watch him these first 2 years unless he's going to be like the Blake Griffin of the assist world.
Yeah.
But 4 or 5 years when he's a grown man and he understands this game, that man's gonna be nice.
Yeah, and then they're gonna have his two little brothers on the team then too.
Oh, yeah,
so it'll be even better.
By the way, I think his father might be one of the smartest guys.
LeVar?
Yeah.
Big LeVar fan, man.
I mean, gotta be. I mean, he's a little outlandish and he, you know, speaks his mind, but I think that him branding himself is one of the biggest moves in recent history.
Yeah.
Like, think about this. Like, okay, this is how I see endorsements. I think they only throw money at you when you're able to take over the world.
Mm.
So LeBron James just got a $1 billion contract. if LeBron James took his name off Nike, why are we going to stop buying his shoes?
Right.
It just means he's going to get 100% of LeBron James. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, that's smart to me. You know, but he got $1 billion, so who's to say that's dumb? with the LeVar Ball thing, like he sees it. Not only does he see it, he's acting on it. And it might seem outlandish now, but isn't that what the prohibition was?
Mm-hmm. You mentioned LeBron, who you played with in Miami. What was he like as a teammate? Like,
man, anybody got anything bad to say about him, bro, can just kiss my ass. Seriously. Like, bro, it'll literally make you mad how good of a guy he is. Yeah. It's like, bro, you can't be the best player, and you can't have all the money, and you can't just be the night. Like, literally, he'll give you the shirt off his back. Like, yeah. And I know, like, that's an old cliche line, but, bro.
It's not,
like,
true for everyone, though.
It's not, bro. Yeah. It's not. And, like, he's just a different person. Like, when you're around him, like, just your life gets better. Like, I got to deal with Club Monaco. I was playing 8 minutes a game. Like, Club Monaco was giving me free clothes because I was standing next to LeBron James. Yeah. Like, think about that.
Yeah.
You know, and I love Club Monaco, by the way. Y'all want to give me some more free clothes?
Shouts to Club Monaco,
my
man.
Guys. Yeah. but, like, LeBron literally, like, you know, okay, some of this, he got a handshake for everybody he knows. Yeah. Like, people just see that as a handshake. But, okay, look. Let's make up a handshake right now. All right. Ready? I don't know where to start. So, you see how awkward that was? You see how awkward that was? Like, literally, LeBron has to sit down and gain a relationship with you and know what you like and you know him like for you to even have a conversation. So I say that to say someone that big literally makes the smallest guy in the room feel like $1 million.
Yeah. You know?
And I've never even said this out loud. I just watched it and just thought it to myself all the time, man. Like, LeBron James is greater than even what we see. Like, the way he moves and how he helps the people around him.
I mean, I know. In, like, 10 years or whenever he retires, 15 years, we're going to be looking back, like.
You're going to be mad.
Exactly.
You're going to be mad because I can sit here and make an argument of him being better than Jordan. And if you're a real fan of the game, you can't go against me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because I know what black is and I know what white is. And if you can sit there and tell me what black is and white is and no gray in between, you got to see that LeBron's better physically than Jordan.
Oh, for sure.
Better physically, mentally. Like, literally, like, I hate the LeBron James, Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant comparison.
Mm-hmm.
I like the Kobe Bryant and Michael Jordan comparison. But to me, Kobe Bryant was a scorer. Like that's it. Like, I miss 20 shots or I make 20 shots, but 20 shots are going up. LeBron James is not that. Like Kobe, he averaged 1 million points, but he never passed the ball as much as he should have.
Yeah.
He didn't rebound as much as he should have. And I'm one to talk, whatever. Y'all can talk bad about me. Y'all already do. It was like his scoring was on 1 million out of 10, but everything else was just a 4 or 5. Like, now he's had years and games where, like, you know, he's passing the ball. I ain't gonna say rebounding, but like, just for the most part, Kobe was a relentless scorer.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Jordan is just relentless. LeBron James is the best, hands down, so far, the best all-around player that ever picked up a basketball.
Skills-wise, for sure.
Like, ever.
For sure.
Like, literally, out of 10 categories, he's at least a 7-5 in every last one of them.
Mm.
And yeah, he might not be a 10 in dribbling, or he might not be a 10 in scoring, but you're talking about a guy that averaged 40 in the NBA Finals.
I mean, the league is geared, or up until this past season, was geared around, like, playing chess, how to stop him. like Kevin
Durant. I mean, it still is.
Yeah.
It still is. Like, this whole Warriors team is to stop LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, if that doesn't say it all, like, they didn't build no teams to try to, like, Jordan went against, you know, no disrespect to, you know, my coach, but Jeff Hornacek is not the, you know, same size as Scottie Pippen, so it's easy to post him.
Yeah.
Like, Karl Malone and John Stockton, like, that was a great team, but just physically and the Bulls were just a more dominant team than they were. Mm-hmm. You know? Like, I watched the, I want to say, 94 maybe. Literally, the whole game, Mike Jordan and Pippen would just go to the block with Hornacek or Russell on them because they were smaller.
I think that was 97 because 94 was the year he was playing baseball.
Yeah, 100%. But now you got LeBron James, and literally you're stacking the teams with all-stars. Like, literally.
Hall of Famers, man. Not
every
just all-stars.
Team has two, three, maybe four all-stars. And then, you know, same thing with potential Hall of Famers.
Mm-hmm.
Because nobody can stop LeBron.
That's crazy, man.
That's ridiculous.
You also played with Ray Allen on that team. And
oh, man, I love Ray.
Yeah, and, like, he's such an interesting dude. Like, he's so, I don't think anal is the right word, but, like, just he's so, he has such weird tendencies, I guess would be the way to describe it. His workout and everything.
He actually don't.
Yeah?
Like, he just worked longer than you. Like, his diet is what propels him to do everything he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you won't see him eat no meat, no candy, no sugar. I mean, cut up like a bag of dope. Like, seriously. And it's the way he eat, you know, which allows him to play 48 minutes, to work out for 3 hours, and now to do 18 rounds of golf twice a day.
Yeah.
Ray's awesome, man. Ray will get up from Coral Gable and ride his bike to the downtown. Like, that's a 15-minute, 20-minute drive, you know? And he'll do that twice a week, you know?
Yeah.
Like, Ray, like, as far as shape and being in tune with your body, I think Ray Allen might have been, like, one of the greatest ever with that.
I mean, you never heard of a guy retire and then for two straight years be like, he could come back and play right away.
Like, you never heard that about anyone ever.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy. And just to attest to your point, to piggyback, like, man, like, it's, like, not much you can say about him.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, his shape and how he takes care of his body and how he works on his craft. I told him I think he should join the PGA Tour.
He probably could.
He probably
is. If he really dedicated himself.
Like, he's awesome. Like, I mean, like, he's like 75. And, like,
really?
Like, he's awesome.
Yeah. Like, I mean, they would have they took Curry on the tournament this past summer. I can't remember what it was called, but, and he played well, like, with legit pros.
Really?
Yeah, he, like, barely missed the cut playing Steph Curry. He's that good.
Steph Curry, that good?
Yeah.
I'm pretty good.
What?
I ain't that good, though.
Is it hard when you're that tall to play?
I learned when I was 19.
What?
Yeah, I took lessons. Like, I actually, like, went out for a whole one summer and, like, took lessons.
You still play at all?
Yeah, I play every chance I get.
What's your handicap?
I ain't gonna tell you.
So what'd you think about everything that went down with KD this week with, like, the whole social media stuff?
Oh, I actually didn't see it.
Yeah?
What happened? You got to tell me.
I mean,
I seen him apologize.
Yeah.
But that's all I seen. So, I don't watch TV. I don't watch TV. I'm not on social media a lot.
Yeah. I noticed you don't have a Twitter account.
I do.
You do?
It's not verified.
Oh, okay. Cause, yeah, like, what is it?
My Twitter account or my, like, nothing's verified. Like, I guess people just think either I'm crazy or I'm going to say something stupid, so I'm going to delete the account. So they just don't even waste their time.
So basically, he responded to someone on Twitter saying that he couldn't win in Oklahoma City because the team wasn't good enough. And I'm paraphrasing here. And he didn't want to play for Coach Donovan. But he said it in the third person. So people assumed that he had a fake Twitter accounts that he was hopping back and forth. If it wasn't him, it was someone in his circle, you know, was setting up like troll accounts to respond back and forth to.
First of all, that's not him. Like, I know him. And...
But it became this whole thing. Like, people like were doing like CSI work, like trying to like, find like fake accounts.
Like, if anybody, and this is why I just hate the outside world. Like, anybody knows Kevin Durant, bro, knows how hard it is for him to speak up when he's not. Now he's good at it now, but like, Kevin never had a problem speaking up for himself, but Kevin always been quiet. So for him to even concoct a plan such as the one you just told me just sounds preposterous to me.
And I mean, I feel like you would know better than anyone.
Yeah, it just doesn't sound like Kevin at all. Now, you know, I could be different, you know, in the last maybe 3 months I haven't spoke to him, 2 months I haven't spoke to him. He could have changed a lot. You know, a lot can happen in 2 months. Yeah. So I could be wrong, but him, like, Kevin doesn't even play with himself on 2K because he thinks he's cocky.
Really?
Yeah, so him speaking in a third person is just, like, doesn't sound.
Yeah, he's had, like, an interesting, I guess, not necessarily relationship with the media, but the way he's been, I guess, portrayed in the
media. He's been, like he doesn't care what you guys say about him. Not you, but, you know.
No, you can say me. Like, he doesn't. He
literally, and I think the last 2-3 years, especially this past year since he's been in Golden State, is, like, really, really a testament to that. Mm-hmm. Like, he doesn't care what you say. Like, I'm going to play basketball. Like the one comment he said, man, if you don't like it, don't watch. Mm-hmm. Like, because we're playing the game we love, and we're doing how we love it, like, If you don't like the way we do it, then clearly you can do it better. But you're not out here, so you can't. So yeah. Shut up. You know? Yeah. I get him 100%, man. I love the confidence he speaks with, and I love the determination and the admiration he carries with the morals of the words he utters out, you know?
And for people that don't know, you've been tight with him since, like, sixth grade.
Like, his mom used to whip my ass. And my mom used to whip his ass. So, yeah, tight is definitely an understatement.
Damn. I mean, you guys probably have one of, if not the best, AAU squad of all time, right? Definitely up there. It was probably you guys.
I don't know. I like my DC Assault team better.
Who was on that?
Like, because when I was the PG Jaguars, literally, I probably only averaged, like, maybe 6 points. Like, but I was like 30 rebounds.
Yeah.
Like, dead ass. Like, the whole game was me rebounding and throwing it back out to Carl or Kevin. Carl was like the next LeBron James at the time. You know, but he got sick and, you know, life happened and, you know, but I literally used to just rebound the ball, look for Kevin, throw it out. And the same way he plays right now is how he played since he was 10 years old.
Wow.
Long distance. So I love that team. Don't get me wrong. We won championships at all. But my DC Assault team, man, like, because now that was my – that's when I realized how good I was as far as scoring the ball. Mm. Yeah, you can look it
up. Who was on that squad, though?
Me –
Was it Grievous?
Nolan Smith, Austin Freeman, Chris Wright.
Those guys went with the Georgetown, right?
Yeah. Julian Vaughn, Davies.
What?
Yeah. like, my DC Assault is great. Wait. Jeff Green played with us.
Damn, heavy Georgetown connection.
Like, bro, yeah. He had some killers.
Yeah.
He had some real killers. Tiki Maben even played with us one season.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
So...
The New York legend himself.
When so I went to school up in Vermont, and when he was at Binghamton, and they played against Vermont, and it was him, and they had a kid from Philly, and they came back from like 35 down, and like were like threatening the fans to like come out because we were talking mad shit. And Tiki was so cold, man. He was
Tiki
destroying
not, like,
people.
The best. Like, Tiki's supposed to be in the NBA.
He was destroying people.
Right now.
Yeah. Like, I'm so glad you just brought him up, man. Wow.
Like, bro, I love Tiki King. Yeah. Man. He was wild.
He committed accused when he was in like eighth grade or something, right?
Yeah. And that was unheard of back then. Yeah. Like now it's like people committing in fifth grade.
Yeah.
And they got the best fourth grade out. Like, all right, fuck that shit. But man, when Tiki committed to Syracuse in the eighth grade, I was young, but it was like, what?
Yeah.
Then I turned around and committed to UNC Charlotte in eighth grade. But I just did that so I can hurry up and get out of high school with no recruitment. Like, I planned on going to the NBA.
Yeah.
Like straight out of high school.
Yeah.
From eighth grade.
Right. You know, but before we get up out of here, I just got to shout out Billy Walker, man.
Billy. Yeah. Billiam. Billiam, that's my guy, bro.
What's he? You still talk to him?
I still speak to him every once in a while. You know, he's living life, man. Like Bill's from Huntington, West Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not like guys from New York and guys from D.C. where $100 million needs to be made for you to go retire. Like, Bill made his money in the NBA. Like, literally, you can give Bill $10,000 and he'll make it work for the rest of his life. Like, he's one of those people. Maybe. Not in a negative way. Like,
yeah.
He doesn't want for anything. And even the things he wants for, if he can't have it right now, he's, like, mature enough to let it go.
Yeah.
I'm not. But Bill, man, Bill's like one of the best people I know, like hands down. One of the most misunderstood people I know.
Yeah, I loved watching you guys at Kansas State, man. That shit was so fun.
That's recreated here.
Say no more, man. But Mike, thank you so much. Best of luck with everything. I'm going to send you those Gilberts.
Please.
Yeah, I got you. Please. I got them at my closet at home. I got you.
My God.
But I appreciate you. Shout out to Erica. You got to go to E whenever you can, right?
Yes, sir.
But nah, best of luck with everything. Thank you, man.
All right, bro.
Appreciate you.